the real key to being a transformational figure in someone's life is to figure out how they're incentivized. We're all incentivized so differently. How does one keep their personal score? What is up, everybody? And welcome back to the Schooling Struggle Podcast. It is our belief that the only guarantee in life is that we are all going to struggle. And how we choose to embrace our struggles is what empowers us to become the best versions of ourselves. My name is Pete, coming to you from Vermont, and with me is my friend and co-host on a new microphone to provide better audio for the listeners, my friend and co-host, Mr. Todd Ellis. What's up, Todd?
Can you hear me now?
We spent the last 20 minutes trying to lock Todd's audio down because we got feedback from our listeners from the last episode that Todd's voice was a little hard to hear. So we've made a couple changes, as in an entirely new microphone. We're trying to train Todd to get his lips a little closer to the microphone when he speaks.
Yo.
And we'll see how it goes for the listener.
Okay. Let's give it a shot.
Before we get into what I have planned for tonight, I have trouble saying this with a straight face. I want to bring listeners behind the curtain of what it's like to partner with Todd on a project. You had no clue that I was going to do this, Todd.
No, I didn't.
This is classic. And I know that there's people in Washington State in your circle and your orbit that listen to this. And I'm guessing that they're going to be able to relate to this. At some point in the last couple days, after we recorded our last podcast, I get a text from Todd, and this is what it says. Going cross country. I just spoken to him. He hadn't mentioned anything about going cross country. I know he had just started a new job. I was so confused. So I text, "What you going cross country for?" And he writes back, "To pick up my son." Now I'm even more confused because I'm aware that your son moved out to the Midwest couple months ago. I know that he got married recently, and he just, like, within the last couple weeks had his first child. So now I have all these questions, like,
wow,
are you going back to get your, like, are you bringing your son to, like, home for a weekend, or are you bringing the whole family back? So I just text for good, and you write back, don't know. So I'm so and then I just left it. I was like, all right, I'll just ask him when I talk to him.
Yeah.
To have these one phrase text exchange about something that is, like, sounds like it's a pretty big deal, but that's classic for you. Is like, yeah, I'm going to reach out to someone and tell them what I'm doing, but I'm going to give them so little information that they're going to be completely confused. And that's what you did to me this week.
Well, sorry that was your experience. My microphone is still, like, it's crazy in my head. It doesn't even sound right now based on what we were doing earlier. I don't know. As long as it sounds okay to you, then we're just going to keep going.
Yeah. Sounds okay to me. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, hopefully it worked out for the listeners. Anyways, yeah. So sorry about that. When I get stressed, I get really, really short. And that's probably what you found there. So
I figured if you were reaching out to share with me, you probably want to give me information, which I was grateful for. So then I let it go. So then I got a text from you, something to the effect of 33 straight hours in the car is not good on the old body.
No.
So yeah, I want to check in, see how you're feeling. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I'm genuinely curious to know what you drove cross country for.
Yeah. So what I did was, Ian was having a hard time. Ian is our youngest son. And to clear it up, he's lived there almost a year now, and he's not married, but he did have a daughter. So I have a new granddaughter. Her name is Zayla. She's, I don't know, maybe a week? No, she's a couple weeks old now. Anyway, she's adorable. He was having a rough time with the living situation they were having there, and he had talked to his mother, and that's how things roll, and she is a very compassionate individual. So she was like, well, let us just try to get you out of that situation or make that situation better for the, now you have a kid and, like, all these different things, right? So ultimately they decided they were going to come back to kind of give a little backstory about the stress. For my birthday, I flew there and then drove 33 hours in a car with, you know, dragging a U-Haul and, you know, all the things that come with going cross country. So
yeah, I made the assumption that they were married because I thought a while back you told me they were engaged, but
they might be engaged, but they're not married.
I'm pretty sure we have. Pretty sure we have documentation of you telling me that story. Okay,
it's probable.
So what I want to get into tonight is, I think I had no idea how this is going to go, but I think that you're going to hear a little bit of like the teacher in me tonight, and I don't want to like get on my soapbox and preach, but I'm just going to share some of the stuff that I've been doing lately, and I think that it has a high level of relevance to our listeners. So in the classes that I teach two that are focused on physical fitness and one that is focused on mental fitness. In all three of the classes, I have a mental focus for each week. I kind of go in deep on this particular topic for the week. We dig into it. With my mindset class, we go much deeper than we do with the fitness classes. With the fitness classes, it starts like the first 5 minutes of class. We just kind of, we get into it. And with the mindset class, we journal about it. We do some other things. Every week, the focus changes. And as we're making our way through the semester, I thought it would be really cool to take a couple of my favorite weekly focuses and just kind of pour them into one episode with you.
Awesome.
And Todd texted me earlier today and said, hey, what do I need to know about tonight's episode? And I said, don't worry about it. I'll surprise you. So you have not prepared for this. I purposely didn't do that. Oh, side note, I went and was hanging out with my brother recently, mm-hmm. and he asked how you were doing, and he said he loved hearing about your Costco. Like, so many people in my circle think it's the coolest thing that you went to Costco and said, hey, I want to start at the bottom. I just thought that was so cool. I said to my brother, I said, oftentimes I don't tell Todd what it's about. And he goes, honestly, that surprised me. He goes, the way Todd responds and the way he thinks, and especially the questions that he asks, makes me think that he's been preparing for it for weeks.
No.
So you're flying by the seat of your pants pretty well here. Eyes of one listener.
Awesome.
And that's exactly what we're doing tonight. So I'm fortunate in that I'm a person that people tend to go to for guidance, for perspectives, for life advice, whatever you want to call it. And it is people in my life that are not teenagers in high school, but also a number of my students. And oftentimes it's for people that want to make lifestyle changes, or for people that want to make, you know, self-improvement, or people that are striving to be a better version of themselves, which is kind of what this whole podcast is about, and schooling the struggle and navigating the hard thing, right? I come back to a couple basic mantras and mindsets when I respond to these, but when we get into our weekly focus, a lot of that is related to navigating the struggle and being the best version of ourselves and those types of things. And what I want to focus on tonight is a couple of things. And that is when someone comes to me and says, hey, I want to do this thing. I want to start doing this thing, or I want to make a lifestyle change and make this thing a part of my life now. And because I think that's something that we all do, both in big and small ways. Like, you know, I want to start flossing my teeth more than I do, or I want to drink less coffee than I do, or whatever these things are that we do. We talk about this stuff often, but I think it's good to go back to the basics. And that's what I want to do right now. And I want to start out with what I've been talking to my students about this week, and then I'm going to kind of work backwards for the last couple of weeks. And what I've been digging in with my students this week is that the thought that I don't determine my future. First, I make my habits, and then it's my habits that determine my future. I like to say to my students, I am what I repeatedly do, right? I am what I repeatedly do. If I want to get better at the thing, I need to do the thing. So oftentimes people come to me like, oh, you know, I want to get better at running. What should I do? And the simple answer there is, well, you need to run.
Yeah, right.
Right? I want to lose weight. Well, the simple answer there is you're going to need to burn more calories in days than you consume. I want to get stronger. Well, you're going to have to garner an adaptation with your muscle fibers by lifting loads. I want to start saving money. Okay, well, you're going to have to spend less money.
Right.
Or make more.
Like, yeah, sure. You
know, so these are very, very kind of simple things, but they're very hard to do because in order to do something that I've never done, I have to do something I've never done.
Yeah, right.
Right? Isn't that tricky? So the whole premise of the class that I teach and the classes that I teach is how can I have a positive impact on myself? I think last week's focus is where I want to kind of dig in a little bit here with you. And again, this is a little bit of an experiment. I didn't prepare you for this. I don't really know where the conversation is going to go. But that complexity is the enemy of execution, right? So when we make something really complex, like, oh, I'm going to change the way I eat and I'm going to do all this research about superfoods and antioxidants and supplements and all these things, like it gets really, really confusing really, really fast. And the more confusing something is, the harder it is to implement.
Yeah.
So if I want to do the thing I've never done, if I want to get better at the thing, I got to do the thing. How do I take the complexity out of it and make it as simple as possible for myself? When you think about making a positive impact on yourself, like, what do you think about?
much like always, the first thing that pops out to me is having the awareness, right? So I think we've already stepped past that piece for your example. I'm aware that I want to do the thing.
Yes.
But I may not be aware of what it takes to do the thing. So if somebody says, oh, it's as simple as, let's take the food example. Oh, you just have to burn more calories than you eat. Well, that gives me two divergent roads, right? I have to know how much I eat, so I'm going to have to do something about that. And I don't know, maybe I don't know how to burn the most amount of calories, or I don't know where to start burning calories. It's going to be a good starting place. So I think having people around, somebody to ask, or having avenues to pursue where you can go and find distilled ideas, which can creep, don't get me wrong. Like, when you go down to, you know, a video rabbit hole, pretty soon you're in supplement, you know, like you don't need all that. But I think having the awareness of and the fortitude to go into something with the clarity of mind that I need to have the simplest things as the place to start. I think that that's the most important part. Either people ask, or I know that I need to find very simple things that I can achieve myself, or however you arrive to that, I think that's the best place. The best way to start is knowing the first steps, or what they mean, you know, what the advice you were given, what that means, or being willing to drill into what you're given to ask that question.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how many times people will come to me and say, the example one was one from today. Like, I need to set up a meeting with you, Mr. D, because I want to have a conversation about how I can get better at running. And I need to know what type of training I need to do in the gym to be a better runner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know that you need to have this wonderful plan in the gym, which could supplement your running, but you're going to have to run.
Yeah.
And I think we just get so tripped up by the complexity of, maybe we just live in a world where, you know, another great example of that for me is I teach fitness, and, you know, the goal of Instagram is to get, you know, clicks and views and likes and all that stuff, right? So there's always a new sexy movement that's out in, mm-hmm. in Instagram. I don't mean sexy as in like sexual, but I mean sexy as in like the flashy movement.
Yeah, it's the trend. Students
will come
right?
and be like, hey, Mr. D, watch this. And they're doing all the stuff. I'm like, well, you could probably get more bang for your buck if you just did a yeah. squat.
Yeah. You don't need to do triple unders. How about we just start with a single rope skip, right?
Yeah, there's a reason why certain movements have been around for so long, because they're effective. Europeans were doing them hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, sure.
So how can we break down, you know, what it is that we want to do into a more simple way and go from there?
Yeah. But where do you get that, right? Where do you get that knowledge? That's the thing. Like, they're asking you, but where would you go to get that knowledge? You know what
I mean?
It
depends on the question.
Well, if you say you wanted to start running, running is a perfect example. Oh, I want to be better at running. And you're in your mind, you're like, oh, well, I would just run more, right? But strip it away a little bit and think about all the things that could potentially hook. Well, if you want to go running, you're going to need running shoes. Well, there's a deep hole. Like, who knows what running shoes, right? And then you're off to the races already, right? So being a teacher, I wonder, you always have such an eloquent way of breaking things down into a very simplistic point of view. Like, I don't know if it's just an innate trait that you have, or I think maybe it's a duplicity of how you've, you know, arrived to where you're at as a teacher, but it seems to me like you are able to teach kids, or you're at least willing and endeavor to do it, teach kids things that, like mindfulness, the things that you have found that work for you, and you distill that in a very simplistic way. But running just sometimes isn't the answer. Go running, right? So, like, how do you arrive at that? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, maybe it's a sidebar, but it's interesting to me to think about how it works in your head, or you just like, well, you're going to have to run more. But, you know, a lot of people just get caught. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's tricky. And I like how you flip the question back around at me. A lot of it, I think whether we recognize it or not, every interaction we have, we are running in our mind what we know about the person, what we know about the person's personality, what we know about the person's situation. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges as a teacher is, I don't know the backstory of a lot of my students, and they probably don't want me to know their backstory.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's so many complexities that go into that. And every time we interact with somebody, trying to take into account into what we know about their backstory it's a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah,
it can be really helpful, but maybe not. And I wonder if someone who we would coin as like has a high level of emotional intelligence is better at doing that than somebody who we coin as not having a high level of emotional intelligence. And we all know those people who can walk down the street and be just as comfortable around, you know, the person begging on the corner for change as if they were to meet the president of the most powerful country in the world, like, or some, you know, hotshot business person or some celebrity. Like, they can handle themselves in any situation with anyone with grace and reverence. I think that's part of it. So I think, in a roundabout way to answer your question, is I think my mind it'll go to what do I know about the backstory of this person that I can help apply, right? So I teach kids of all different socioeconomic status. I have kids in the same class that are, you know, from all different socioeconomic backgrounds. That would play into it, right down to the sneaker thing. If I know that this kid is coming in rocking $300 Jordans and he's got 20 pairs of them, I might answer differently the sneaker question than the kid who I know who I know comes from a very different living situation. So like with my class, I don't put any parameters on what they can and cannot wear to exercise in or what they should or should not wear. I love you as you are. I love you as you come. Of course, there's an element of safety there, but if a kid does box step-ups and boots or sneakers, to me, it's fine. I'll have kids take off their sneakers and squat in socks. I'm fine with that, you know, as long as it's not a safety thing. So that's one piece of it is like, or what do I think I know about what the kid has access to? And I can build from there. So, you know, I might just say, well, you know, you start with shoes that you feel safe running in. and then depending on their interpretation, that can be very wide. You know, I have kids running in Crocs. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, just a pair of shoes that you feel are comfortable running in, run out 2 minutes and run back 2 minutes and start with 4 minutes a day. And once you're feeling like 4 minutes, and then they might realize, oh, like I can't really run this far in these shoes. And I say, you know, if you have any other questions, come back to me. And they might say, well, all right, now I'm looking at shoes, and kind of let them guide the conversation versus me telling them what to do. You know, I look at my role is I plant seeds of awareness and hopefully those seeds grow. And I'd say the vast majority of the seeds that grow are seeds that I never see. By the time they graduate, those seeds are still in the dirt.
Yeah.
And they're not sprouting yet.
Bam.
And every now and again, and what's spawned this conversation is I had a student who I'm close with, graduated a number of years ago, went off to college for one thing, decided that wasn't his thing, came back and said, yo, Mr. D, I'm going to be going to the police academy. I need to get ready for their mile test. I need to get ready for the push-up test. What do I do?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if they're asking you to run, dude, you're going to have to run.
Yeah.
If they're asking you to do push-ups, you're going to have to do push-ups. Fortunately, my brother has been filming some videos with some people that are setting world records. The guy that we had on the podcast early on, and they've shared some of their pull-up training methodologies with my brother, who shared it with me, which I've been implementing into my training recently, which is cool. But I was like, I actually have a really cool scientific formula for you. You're going to do max reps. You're going to take the percentage of this. You're going to do this. And so it was pretty cool to have a you know, like a really objective answer of what he was seeking. But so much of it when helping or coaching or teaching or instructing someone is, you know, what do I know about them? What do I know about their movement mechanics? What do I know about where they have access to? Like if I know a kid lives on a hill and he wants to run, well, you're either going to have to learn on a hill or you're going to have to go further away from your house to run on a flat surface.
Yeah.
So.
Or both.
Yeah. That emotional intelligence piece is a huge factor in operating that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think mixed in there is the fact that you possess a base level knowledge of what it is they're trying to do. So you're a fitness teacher, right? This is probably why they come to you for that. If I want to run faster, you're going to have to run, right? I mean, but as to augment that, you're like, oh, but if you want to do pull-ups better, I also have this advanced class situation that I have because of the base knowledge that I have. But when we're talking about, I think, what the initial question was where does somebody start? You have to find people with that base knowledge that are willing to share with you and then build on top of that. So
I'll say the tricky thing is everybody's motivated differently.
Yeah.
I think the real key to being a transformational figure in someone's life is to figure out how they're incentivized. We're all incentivized so differently.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this quite a bit. Like how does one keep their personal score?
Yeah.
Right, like this person might judge their personal score by how much money they have, and this person might judge their personal score by how they're giving to their community. And this person might judge
their
score,
my awesome car, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, or you know, this person might judge their score on how they're raising their kids, and this person might judge their score on what role they play in their church. Like what, there are these different things.
Yeah,
and I think starting to learn about how someone measures their personal score is a really fascinating thing. Mm-hmm. An example of that is my father was a businessman, but he never wanted to spend money on stuff that I think typical businessmen want to spend money on. My dad would just work hard and he'd accumulate the money, but he didn't want to spend it. Like, I grew up thinking we were poor, like, oh, we always had to have the lights off and we couldn't take a shower that was more than a minute. Gas money, all these different things. I was hyper aware of it, thinking we were poor when I was young. And, you know, my friends are like, well, if your dad's a businessman, like, he doesn't have fancy jewelry. All his shirts have holes in them. He drives a he drives a average car at best. Like, what does your dad spend his money on? I'm like, I don't know.
Nothing.
But that's just how he but yeah. A good day at work was a day that he made a lot of money. And a bad day at work was a day that he didn't make a lot of money. That's just how he measured his personal score. Like that day. Like he used it as a measurement. He wanted money, but not for what money can do, if that makes any sense.
That's interesting. Or maybe his value of money different. And he knew that it was fickle, right? Working investments can be, you know, all kinds of pitfalls in there. Like one day, nothing, and the other day I made a whole bunch of money, so I better not spend it so I can keep a midline, right?
Yeah.
Of what it is to be comfortable. I think, and that goes in hand with what I was going to say earlier. It is important. I think it's ultimately the most important thing. It's probably the first question is, I want to be better at running. What are your goals at running? Like, what do you want to be better at? Or what? Like, what specifically in running do you want to be better at? Well, I want the best mile time. Well, that's not going to be go out and do marathon distances. That's going to be, you know, speed work and all these other things. Then you start to rely on your base knowledge. But I think you're right. Like, you have to start with the why, and you have to get to what is it exactly that you think you want to do? And then we can pinpoint that and have a great place to start.
Yeah. So like this kid said, yo, I want to get better at running. Well, why? Because I want to hit the number that the police academy requires. That's pretty objective.
Yeah.
We can put a scientific training Absolutely. Plan together that's going to get that.
Yep.
Right. If someone else comes up to me and says, I want to start running. And I say, why? They say, well, I want to lose weight. Ooh, there's some other variables there. This isn't just about running.
Yeah.
What's your sugar intake? What's your processed food intake? What's your water intake? You know,
but you still get to the bottom of it. Why do you want to lose weight, and why do you think running is the way to do that? Right? Like, what have you digested already to help me understand the underlying driver? Why you're coming to me and asking me these questions, and how can I help?
Yep. And then I had a parent call me recently, email me, and we ended up on the phone with a conversation. And the parent was saying, "My kid lacks self confidence. What should we do?"
Yeah.
So I can give you a scientific plan on how to be better at pull ups. Now we're talking about something that I'm struggling with my child.
You're going to need a psychiatrist, or, you know, you're going to need somebody different than me for that, right?
But I think it is really worthwhile for us to think about, and regardless of what the thing is in order to achieve something I've never achieved, I have to do something I've never done.
Yeah.
So does that mean finding a therapist for my kid? Does that mean whatever the steps could be, what is something that I might not currently be doing?
Yeah.
And like you say, it all begins with that awareness.
Yep.
But
and vulnerability, right? Like they have to be aware and willing to ask the question. Because some people just swallow it and they never ask. They just, that's the way it is. I guess I'll always suck at chess, or I guess I'll always be a shitty runner. Like my daughter never ran. She would never run. And now, for a while when we were training, she ran all the time. So like she was like, I didn't realize running was not that hard. And I was like, just because you just have to keep at it. You just can't quit, right? Like if you want to do it, you have to have the goal and go towards it. And then she was like, well, that's amazing. I mean, it's just like you said, like if anything in life, you know, you have to have the vulnerability to start it, and you have to have the milestones in which to feel like it's successful. And then that goes on your sliding scale, right? The why for everybody. So
yeah, I think the hard part is the mental fortitude, right? Especially when you don't like, so progress is the biggest motivator. So when you're doing the thing, okay, you're telling me I got to do the thing. I'm doing the thing. I'm not seeing any progress.
Yeah.
I'm whacking this rock over and over and over again with this hammer, and I am not seeing this rock cracking.
Yeah. Well, then the next question is, what do you think that the measure of success should be? Like, what would that look like to you? And then we can get closer to that, right? Like, do you just want to be faster, or do you want, you know, because then you can begin peeling that away. Do you just want to run because, oh, I didn't know you wanted to lose all this weight? Well, that's different. We can have multiple faceted approach to that. Running might be one key component, but that, there's a whole host of other things we're going to need to get to.
If you dig into that, well, why do you want to lose weight?
Yeah, right. But again, if you back all the way out of it, it's why, right? And what in your mind predicates success, even in the smallest steps, and then let's work towards that.
Yeah. Did you find yourself having to work on the mental side with people when you were coaching at the CrossFit gym, or was it pretty physiological, like of the body?
It's always a mix. If you're talking about, are you talking about the kids or the adults? So both two different CrossFit scenarios there.
Feel free to answer it any way you'd like.
There's you've probably seen this with kids, and when I say kids, I mean high school or middle school kids. There's always a component of the egotistical charade that goes on at school, you know, like the land of make-believe and the cliques and the, I don't want to do that. You know, like I can remember clearly some points where we're doing yoga and we're doing like down dog and it's just not going to happen, right? Like the boys can't handle it. The girls aren't going to do it because it's too embarrassing. Like there's no shot. So with adults, it's completely different, but there's always like a mindset that you have to balance or you have to be aware of to know how to best reach the audience of the people you're trying to get to, right? So, I mean, and with kids, you could say 100 times, like, I know this is going to be uncomfortable, but this is just what we're doing, and it's not going to matter because there's going to be some smart aleck in the back just cracking. You're just like, okay, well, we're not going to do that again, right? But I think more often than not with adults, it's you have to deal with the stressors of work, the stressors of their family lives, and then, you know, all the hodgepodge of things that they come with, why they're there, but it always boils down to that same thing. Like, why did you come here and what is it you're hoping to achieve? Once you get into diet, they're going to realize, well, I sit on the couch and eat popcorn and tubs of, you know, like you've looked the same and you've been here for 7 years. How is that even possible? Well, I feel better. Well, that's great, but are you getting any closer to where it is you're trying to get? And so it all compounds, I think, with adults. Kids, you can catch a little bit earlier on, and if they're receptive, I think it's a little bit easier, but yeah, those are some of the challenges and the mental that goes with that, right? Like you start talking to kids about, you know, meditating or yoga, and it's beyond most of them, right? Like they understand stretching's cool, but I don't need to get into my head and start rhythmically breathing. Like it just seems too crazy for them. So that's been my experience.
Yeah, I feel like the people that listen to this podcast are more on the driven side. Like they're going to take their time and listen to these thoughts that we're sharing because they're striving to be better versions of themselves. And that's something that I absolutely love about our family and listeners. I just feel so honored to be part of this community, the School and Struggle community. Something that I battle with, and these aren't the people that are going to be listening to this podcast, are the ones that they don't even have, and I see this every day in high schoolers, they don't even have the thought of what the thing is. Or maybe it's stewing in their head and that they don't have the ability to communicate that. But it's like, well, what's something in your life you want to get better at? I don't know.
I'm already good at everything.
Fortnite. Okay. Like, so where I try to break it down is with all of my students, and I'm hoping that I'm reaching these students, is be like, no, it's not, I'm not talking about some BHAG, some big, hairy, audacious goal. I'm talking about just like, you want to have clean teeth? I am, or I repeatedly do. You're going to have to brush your teeth twice a day. You want to have cleaner teeth? Brush your teeth twice a day and floss.
Yeah.
You want to have cleaner teeth than that? Brush your teeth twice a day, floss, don't drink coffee, and don't eat sugar. You know, to where do you want to go? And I'll often use the example, like, I am what I repeatedly do, right? So if every time I interact with someone, I'm a jerk, well, guess what? I'm a jerk. I am what I repeatedly do. If I'm a trustworthy person, and every time I interact with someone, it's in a trustworthy manner, then I am trustworthy.
Yeah.
So I am what I repeatedly do really carries over in so many ways in life. I think that that's a super important one for kids, the ages of 14 to 18 here, but really all of us. I've been talking to Jen this week about, all right, I know this. I know that if I'm trying to make the people in the military better, I'm not going to wait for war to start to train them. Like you don't train them in the battle, right? Yeah, you train them before the battle. Yet, as a parent, every time my kid gets emotional, I take on that moment to try to train her and try to talk about the situation. No, you show that you can remain calm during the battle. And then when the battle is long behind, then you have the conversation about, hey, you know, when I correct you and you get really defensive and then you are not accountable and then you lie and you make up what you were thinking, that isn't helpful. But if I try to go there in the moment when I catch her, it is just a nightmare. And it just happened right before I came down here to record with you. I've been talking to Jen all week about, all right, like I'm not going to try to train in the battle. And then we just went to a school event and Lauren was sneaking all these like candies and sugar and we knew she was doing it. Mm-hmm. And then when we asked her about it, when we got home, not like accusing her or anything, just, you know, we noticed that you just kept eating all the sugar and kept eating it. We're wondering how you feel. She's like, I didn't realize how unhealthy that candy is. We're like, no, no, like that's not the point of this. And I'm like, just own it. Just be like, yep, I ate a lot. And
it was delicious.
This is how I feel. And it was delicious. Yeah. I'd much rather you say that.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
And own it. But so then I said to her, you know, I just want you to be accountable. And like, of course, my voice raised a little bit and I started talking faster. And then she started crying. And I'm like, and she walked away. And I just said to Jen, I told you all week, this is what I'm working on in my life. And I did not do it. So, like, I am what I repeatedly do. Like, I try to train in the battle. And that is no good as a parenting tactic.
Yeah. I don't know if there are good parenting tactics. I mean, obviously, there's don't beat your children, but I, you're going to struggle with that for the rest of your life. Like, that's just the way parenting is. And I think ultimately in a situation like that, it comes back to you. Like, what is the why you want for her? And how do you articulate that to her in a way? Because, like, when I hear words like, oh, I want you to be more accountable. How old is Lauren? 7, 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. What does accountable mean to a 7 or 8-year-old? You see what I'm saying? It's just like, well, if you can't articulate what that means, then, you know, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'll push back and say that I know that she knows what it means because we've talked about it.
Yeah, but it means something completely different is what I'm.
So I feel like you asked me like what in the heat of the moment, like, you know, what am I trying to get out of it? And I feel that the best thing that I can do, and I'm likely to say the best thing that any parent can do, but I don't want to generalize that big, is just to show her the ability to stay calm.
Yeah.
Always just model calmness that I can stay calm when the seas are rough. And then we can talk about it when the timing is right.
Yeah. Calmness, and kindness, and curiosity. Those are the best attributes, I think.
Calmness, kindness, and curiosity. Yeah, I absolutely love that. Yeah.
If you model those, you can't go wrong. I mean, you can always go back to me like, look, I was kind, or look, we were curious. You know, it's just like one of those is gonna be the slam dunk for leading by the example you wish to.
Yeah, like there's a takeaway from this episode right there.
And I don't do it well, but I mean,
prioritize that calmness, kindness, and curiosity.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Every time.
So good. It's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, that might, Mr. Ellis, that could be our focus in the next week or two. I got to tie that into everything.
Yeah.
Calm,
weave the
kind,
tapestry.
And curious.
I like that? It just popped right in my head. See?
For real? That isn't like a mantra you've had in your head for.
No,
years,
I always think that, but when I boil it down, that's what it comes down to. Like, what are the attributes that overstretch all the things you try to achieve as a parent? And if you can keep those three in balance, you're good to go. Or display at least one at every turn.
That totally ties back to last episode, right? If my daughter sees me as curious rather than judgmental.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm curious to know why you ate all that candy instead of be accountable.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a place. I think there's a place for each. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
There's no
you gotta
perfect
hold the line.
It just can't happen. But, yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. See, I didn't even know where it was gonna go. Hopefully, my microphone works. People could hear me, or they're just gonna think all these ideas are your own.
Well, welcome to class with Mr. D. Thanks for joining.
I didn't enroll for this elective, but I will endure it for the semester.
Oh, you enrolled when I asked you to partner with me on this podcast project.
Should ask me why first.
Speaking of partnering with us on this podcast project, to our amazing family of listeners out there, we appreciate your ears. We so very much thank you for your time. We are incredibly grateful for your attention. We are the School and Struggle Podcast. We are out.
See ya.